Welcome to the seventh Ask Whatever episode and the first Ask Whatever of the new year. I'm going to take on as many of your questions as I can today. We're going to kick the new year off with a bang, and I want to make room for more of your questions. I keep a running list of all of the ones that come in through the website and the podcast and my social media, and I want to keep getting to as many as I can. And please keep sending them in. I love them, even when I've had them before, so don't worry about that part. I like repeat questions because it gives me a chance to come at them another way. So let's do this. I want to dive right in. I'm just going to start at the top and work my way down. I'm not going to do an introductory summary. I'm just going to start gunning through. Up first is comfort eating. Do I have any comfort food tips? I sure do. Lots of them, actually. My main answer is to eat them. Comfort food looks different for everybody. What comforts me might not comfort you or Sheila from work or Gwendolyn, writer of angry comments and emails. We're all different. We've all got different foods that help us deal. Because here's the thing, right? If you've been listening for a bit, or you're following me over on Insta, which is where I've got a whack of quick and easy low-calorie recipes and a whole bunch of other stuff. But if you've been around for a bit, you probably know about my whole comfort, reward, and cope thing. I think that when you get right down to the charming but gruesome underbelly of obesity and emotional eating, it comes back to those three things. You're eating to comfort yourself, to reward yourself, or to help yourself cope. I did a whole episode on it, number 5. I'll drop a link to it in the notes. Comfort's the big dog. He seems friendly, but he's got teeth, and you can play with him for years before he jumps up and bites you on the ass. There's nothing wrong with comfort eating, and I know that kind of flies in the face of a lot of the advice out there right now. There's also an 85% recidivism rate right now, so I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want. There's nothing wrong with eating to comfort yourself. Not a damn thing, but you need to do it the right way. And the right way is the very present and very mindful way. Choose. Actively choose. I can grief eat spiral. Like everybody else, I've had some shit to deal with. I've had loss. And like us, I like to eat my feelings. It's my favorite way. Giving it up has never really seemed like a viable option for me, so I found a way to work with it. I can be sad. I can want to comfort myself with food, and I do. So I do, but I do it with a plan. I'm very aware of what I'm doing. You can't change what you can't see. So when I know I'm eating because I'm missing my dad, I'll really actively choose to eat something that I know is going to have a big emotional payout for me. I'll pick something that I really heavily associate with him and with eating to comfort the loss of him. I've got a rice dish he used to make, but it's loaded for bear with calories, and the salt is just insane, and I'm crazy limited on my salt right now, but whatever. I got sick 6 weeks after he died from a version of the same disease that killed him. He was killed by acute pancreatitis, and I was almost killed by severe necrotizing pancreatitis. The doctors told me it was like if he and I had both walked into a convenience store and bought lottery tickets one after the other, and then both of us won the jackpot, especially since neither one of us were alcoholics. And I was 26 weeks pregnant when he died, and I got sick at 32 weeks pregnant. I was in the hospital for 5 really ugly months, and then the road back when I got home wasn't easy either. So my grieving process was a little delayed and a lot screwed up. And sometimes I'm going to want to eat that. Here comes the rice. But I'm not going to lose myself in it. I'm not going to make a huge batch of the rice and keep eating it until it's all gone. I'm going to make a small batch of it, and I'm going to eat some of it. Maybe even most of it, but I don't have to finish it anymore because I really pay attention to that rice and the reason why I'm eating it while I'm eating it. Here's the best part. Paying attention and being super present with that rice doesn't just make a smaller amount of rice give me the same emotional satisfaction and payout as a larger amount of rice. It helps to make sure that the rice doesn't turn into some ice cream and some cookies and some chips and. That rice is also calorie dense as fuck, so I really want to get my money's worth. I'm not going to sit there and shovel it in while I watch the Lord of the Rings movies and think about how he and I went to the earliest showing of each of them on opening day. There's no shoveling. There's no mindless munching. I pay attention. I have to. Or I'm going to tell myself I'll only have one bowl of rice and then I end up eating 3. So eat your comfort foods when you want to comfort yourself. Just be super aware of what you're doing and pay attention to what you're eating and what you're feeling while you're eating it. This one's pretty timely given that it's our second episode of the new year. How can I be gaining weight the first week of my diet when I made all those changes to eat healthier foods? And there's a second and super closely related part to this question that came in. I've gained 3 pounds and I'm so confused because I've gone from horrible eating to eating clean and simple. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. First off, a 3-pound gain could be salt or constipation or a handful of other things like the time of day or the time of the month. I kind of just shrug my shoulders at a 3-pound gain. Sorry. Weight's relative. And when you've weighed 338 pounds, 3 pounds isn't nearly as big a deal as it is for someone who's only ever weighed 135. So there's that. 3 pounds is kind of meh. But the bigger part of this that I want to address is the whole part about eating healthier or clean or simple, however you want to say it. None of those things guarantee a calorie deficit. Not one of them. I think this is the first time I've kind of started going down this road, but it's a fun one. We're just going to take a quick little trip though. We're going to dip our toes. Healthy food isn't necessarily lower in calories. I know we kind of maybe all wish it was, or at least the smoothie people definitely wish it was, but healthier, clean, and simple food still has calories. Sometimes it has loads of them. You want to talk about avocado toast? Now, I don't like avocado. It's a texture thing. I can't handle it. For me, a mouthful of lard is to avocado what a mouthful of fingernails are to coconut. It's just out. But if you're trying to lose weight, insanely healthy foods like avocado, and I'm not being sarcastic here, that shit is crazy good for you. It's the exact right kind of fat. It's nutrient dense. I don't like it, but I'm not slamming avocado. I am going to tell you that 100 grams of it has 160 calories, which isn't a lot when you compare it to some other fats. 100 grams of butter has 717 calories. But I also know a lot of people who've gotten caught in the trap of assuming that just because something's healthy, it's automatically low calorie too. Lots of things that are really good for you are also calorie dense. So the way you can be gaining weight while you're eating healthy, simple, and clean is that you're taking in more calories than your body is burning. You're in a calorie surplus. That's it. This is the first time I've gotten this next question, and I'm really glad it came in because it's something I hadn't thought of in this way before. After your near-death experience, did you ever feel like your weight was protecting your body? No, not once. Did I before my near-death experience? Yeah, absolutely. After? No, not a single time. Being obese, having extra weight on when I got sick, made everything harder. Every single thing. The entire experience would have been easier if I hadn't been more than 100 pounds overweight. That's irrefutable. Becoming obese now could be catastrophic for me. I can't do it. I've got to keep my diabetes under control, which I'm still managing to do with diet and exercise, even though I'm missing a massive chunk of my pancreas and all of my gallbladder. Since last summer, I've had this kidney stuff going on, and I'm pretty sure being overweight wouldn't help that situation at all. And here's something I'm definitely not supposed to say out loud right now, but I'm gonna. I don't want to be obese again. I don't like the way it feels, and I don't like the way I look. Mostly, though, I'm terrified of what would happen just to my health if I get fat again. It scares the shit out of me. I really like being alive. I really like being with my family. I like moving around and being able to do the things I want to do. But I really could have stopped it. I really like being alive. Because that's enough for me. I've been way too close to the edge. But I do understand using your weight as protection, and it's something I plan on talking about a lot more. Weight can be a security blanket. It can make you feel like you're undesirable and invisible. It can make you feel safe. I get that. I'm in a place where my health has to be the priority. Let's just keep on court and controversy here. Why not? You guys are making me brave, and I should stop and thank you. Because I really am grateful, and I'm realizing that this is a bad time to do this because I don't have a great track record with big feelings and not crying. But I'm very grateful for all your emails and comments and messages. Hearing from you that I'm being helpful and encouraging makes me keep going. So thank you so much. Okay, there's no crying in podcasts, so let's be controversial instead. I see some version of this all the time. So I don't have to count carbs? Which is the way I prefer to come at this, but I might decide to address the people who demand carb counts or judge and shame anybody for eating high carb foods. I'm super done with you. And I won't engage. You can leave those comments all day, Gwendolyn, but I'm just going to keep pretending that they're not there. No, you don't have to count carbs to lose weight. You don't. I know they keep saying that you do, or that it's some miraculous shortcut to weight loss. It's not. The calorie deficit is a calorie deficit, and your body needs carbs, period. When it comes to losing weight, if you get there by cutting carbs, you get there by cutting calories. If you get there by eating kale and quinoa, you get there by cutting calories. If you get there by eating bacon and bubblegum, you get there by cutting calories. You don't have to cut carbs. They're not making you fat or keeping you fat. Calories make you fat and keep you fat. All a calorie is a unit of energy. It's like gas in your car. Let's pretend that gas tanks are flexible. You put gas in, you drive around, which burns a whack of gas, so you go get more gas, but you didn't burn all of the gas, and you put in the same amount as it took to fill it up last time. That gas tank is going to need to expand just a little. Actually, a better analogy would be if the extra gas converted itself into extra rubber on the tires or metal on the doors, because that's what calories do in your body. They get converted into something else and stored. In this analogy, it doesn't matter what kind of gas you put in the car. Premium, regular, ultra, doesn't matter. Just like it doesn't matter if your food is always expensive, organic, and whole, or if it's whatever you can afford and you're staying in a calorie deficit. Sorry, that might seem a little out of left field, but I'm really unhappy with some of the, I don't know what the word is, poverty shaming. Not everybody can afford to shop at Whole Foods for those 120 calorie grapes, which is the exact same number of calories as the grapes up the street for a third of the price. It's the exact same. I'm sorry, the snobbery of all of this really triggers me. But we also need to be talking about it because I'm hearing about it because it's happening. But I don't get messages from people who are upset because so-and-so said this and that to them and they're pissed off. No, I get messages from people who are feeling bad about themselves and inadequate in themselves because they can't afford to eat the food on a particular meal plan. It comes up in the comments, and I had someone sarcastically point out that for the same number of calories as the recipe I'd made, I could have had a particular couple of brands of frozen desserts. And that's fine. The calories might be the same, but my dessert costs less than half the price. Way less. It's far more accessible. People in food deserts don't have access to organic, low-calorie ice cream, Gwendolyn. They just don't. So, back to carbs. No, you don't have to count them to lose weight. Just calories. Let's do the total flip here for a second. Skinny shaming. That's a thing, and it pisses me off too. First, skinny is relative. I get told I'm fat often enough, like right now, currently. Too fat to be doing this, actually. And to somebody who's weighed 105 their whole lives, I guess I am. But when you're at where I was, when you've always struggled with needing to lose a significant amount of weight, I'm pretty sure I don't look fat to you anymore. But I also get the other side. Because you see, I'm too thin. So I'm out of touch. I don't know what it's like anymore. Okay. Because some of the time, apparently, when you're where I was, I'm too skinny. Which I know I'm not. I have a team of doctors and healthcare providers, all of whom are aware of my height and my weight, and exactly none of them have a problem with my weight at all. Nobody thinks I'm too fat or too thin. I'm doing just fine over here. So I feel pretty good about it. But because skinny is relative, I hear from people who are being shamed and criticized by people in their lives for getting too thin. And most of the time, it's coming from partners. But I've heard it from pretty much every family member you can think of, from parents to cousins, and I've heard it coming from friends and coworkers. So it can come from just about anywhere because it's relative. And your weight has been for the people in your life too. If somebody hasn't seen you since you dropped 40 pounds, they might be a little shocked. They're used to seeing you very differently and they have a picture in their minds of what you look like. So you might meet some resistance, but here's the thing. It's your body. It's not up to them. And I'll say this too. Most of the time when someone's being critical like this, it's not actually about you at all. This is a them thing, not a you thing. And if you're in the healthy weight range that's been laid out for you, or if you're well on your way to it, you're not doing anything wrong. For the second half of this episode, I want to burn through a bunch more questions. I see a lot of the same ones over and over, and I don't mind one bit, but I also know that not everybody has time to go back and listen to past episodes to find those answers. So I'm going to cover a couple of the repeaters, and then we're going to do a couple more quick ones that I haven't taken on before and just keep working our way through that master list. I actually have a spreadsheet where I write down every single question I get. So let's get to as many of them as we can, given my penchant for segues and getting distracted. How often should I weigh myself? I can do this one in like a minute. Once a week. Any more, you'll make yourself crazy. Any less, and you won't have the awareness you need to change your relationship with food and get control of your weight. Pick a day that you can consistently weigh yourself at the same time and stick with it. Once a week. How much should I eat to avoid starvation mode? Okay, so I'm going to answer this in two parts, but I'm going to be brief because it's going to be just slightly controversial, and I'm okay with that. But I'm probably going to need a much longer segment, and today is not the day. First, you need to be eating no less than 500 calories under your TDEE, total daily energy expenditure, the number of calories your body burns each day. TDEE minus 500 is pretty much the ideal. And there's nothing controversial about that. But I want to be very, very clear. Do not cut your calories too drastically. It's not sustainable and you're setting yourself up to fail. Plus, it's really unhealthy and you're not going to be firing on all cylinders, which is a huge part of why you're setting yourself up to fail. If you can't think straight, how are you supposed to stick with it? Here's the controversial part. And I don't know that I've said this on here before. I'm pretty sure I haven't, but again, I'm getting braver. So here we go. There is no such thing as starvation mode. It's a myth. It's a very convenient myth on a couple of fronts, not least of which is the way it keeps people eating. But it's also still a myth. If starvation mode were a thing, respectfully, world history would be very different. Did you ever overeat when you were pursuing a calorie deficit? Yeah, I sure did. It took me almost 2.5 years to lose 200 pounds, and I happen to think that's pretty quick. But I also know that at least theoretically, I could have done it faster. I don't think speed is the important part, though. Faster rarely means better when it comes to weight loss. But yeah, I absolutely overate when I was losing my weight. It's crazy hard, and it's a crazy amount of pressure, and I don't think it's entirely reasonable to expect perfection in anything, but especially not in weight loss. So I've gotten several comments, questions on this one. I got 3 in one day, actually, which is why this is here. The blood type diet is rearing its ugly and ineffectual head again. It's like fad diet whack-a-mole. They disappear for a while and then they start to pop back up again. The blood type diet isn't a thing. It's not. It's been around since the mid-90s, and I don't want to say it's bullshit, but I also kind of do. Not a thing. Did you have surgery or did you lose your weight on your own? It's a fair question, and I really don't mind answering it. I know people think it offends me. It really doesn't. Most of the people I know who've lost more than 180 pounds did it with surgery. So yeah, I didn't though. I did it on my own with a fair bit of trial and error. I was told I didn't qualify for surgery. The rules were very different in Canada then. So it was a calorie deficit and intermittent fasting. That's it. What did you use to track? An app or a pen and paper? So I've done both. If I'm tracking now, which I have to do a fair bit, not for weight loss, but just because of everything I've got going on with my health and my digestive system. So if I'm tracking now, I use my FitnessPal. But when I lost the 200, there were no apps, so I had a notebook. Did you focus on hitting protein in your macros when you were tracking calories? Nope, I didn't. I don't track macros for weight loss. And unless your doctor tells you to, I don't think you should track your macros either. It's a distraction, especially in the beginning. When you've got a significant amount of weight to lose, you've got time. And I know there's an argument to be made for starting things the way you intend to continue, and I am a huge fan of that with a lot of things, but this isn't one of them. Don't worry about focusing on macros. It's just unnecessary. Do you recommend tracking forever? Also, no, I don't. I don't think you'll need to. You get used to the things that you eat and you start keeping a running tally as you go, like without even really thinking about it. Maintenance mode is a different beast altogether. I also stay on top of my weight. I don't stress about it. I just hop on the scale each morning. And if I start gaining, like I'm up consistently by several pounds, I know I need to rein things in. But after all this time, I don't need to track what I'm eating to stay in control of my weight. How do I figure out my calorie deficit? I get this one probably a couple times a day. Everybody's deficit is the same, but I don't think that's the real question here. To lose weight, pretty much everybody wants to cut 500 calories from their TDEE. That's that whole total daily energy expenditure thing again. An online calculator will help you to sort it out. If it asks for you to enter your body fat percentage, just ignore that and then subtract 500 from your maintenance TDEE, and you've got your daily calorie target. A lot of apps will calculate this for you too. Do you only eat your own recipes? No, I don't. I still eat pretty much whatever I want, just less of it. I like cooking and playing with recipes, but I also use packaged and processed foods. Not as much as I used to, but I do. And up last today, I love this question. How do I track something like homemade chili accurately? So the answer depends. If you made the chili yourself, you can enter it into the recipe builder in your tracking app. If you're eating someone else's, what I would do is punch homemade chili into my app and then take an average of the top 5 to 10 entries. That's it. We've just made our way through 16 questions, which is a new personal best, and I'm already excited for our next Ask Whatever a few weeks from now. But in the meantime, keep trying, keep tracking, don't be intimidated, and don't give up. You've totally got this.